Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 78 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a special episode for you all today. We're not going to be talking any rankings or strategy or players. Well, we'll talk about one player as this is a bonus interview episode of the Fantrax Toolshed. We have a great interview with Robert Hassel III. Love Robert Hassel. Obviously, he's been a favorite of ours here on the Tool Shed for a while now, as he had his debut season here in 2021. And with me for this interview, of course, my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, man?
Yeah, this is very exciting. Looking forward to this conversation. Robert, obviously, being a top draft pick, a top prospect, and having a great first season. Really looking forward to this and what he has to say. It's going to be a fun one, and you don't want to stick around for the whole thing. A lot of great things he has to say, for sure.
Yeah, we already recorded the interview with Robert a little while ago. It was absolutely phenomenal. We had some set questions here that we got into, but just the how in-depth he was with some of his answers was great. And we get into a lot of, you know, some fun questions, but some questions about his game, what he's working on, you know, going through the last couple of years through the COVID year and his first year in 2021 here in the minor league. So a lot of good chat here with Robert Hassel III for sure. But before we get into that, let's get the usual housekeeping here. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FanTrax Toolshed for extra content from both of us. And, of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the FanTrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. Let's get right to it here. Before we bring on and get you into Robert Hassel's interview here, let's just chat a little bit about his 2021 season. Started out at low A Lake Elsinore, got moved up to high A Fort Wayne later on in the season. Overall, played 110 games, 516 plate appearances, slash 302, 393, 470, 33 doubles, 11 home runs, 34 steals, when he caught six times, 66 walks, 99 strikeouts overall. So very, very productive first full season after being drafted eighth overall in the 2020 draft from Independence High School in Thompson Station, Tennessee. So Tennessee kid going out west so far. Great first season, like I said, both offensively and defensively in center field here. Chris, what were your thoughts from his first full season here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was probably better than we could have asked for someone transitioning to professional baseball and missing, you know, a full year before that. And he talks about this a little bit in the interview, so I won't spoil it all. But we saw him, you know, dominate in low A, which gave him a deserved bump to high A. And we saw the power develop. He's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about the strength and how he's working to add that strength. And just the feel to hit for average, the ability to walk, and you know, he has a great things to say about his plate discipline and how and why he does earn so many walks. And I thought overall it was just a very standout season. I mean, between both levels, hit 302, had a near 400 OBP and 11 home runs, stood out in stolen bases as well with 34, and he even mentioned he's not even satisfied with that. So you love to see that. Very hungry for more, and you'll definitely hear about that in the interview.
Yes, for sure. It's a lot of great answers from Robert Hassel. And if you think like the Padres have a lot of talent now, just there's still a lot more talent here, especially with Robert Hassel and CJ Abrams leading the way. Once that you get those two up there to add into Tatis and Cronenworth and Grisham and Machado, it's just going to be an absolutely loaded offense all around, and very, very excited about Hassel and Abrams coming up here. And you know, Hassel's been a favorite of mine since the 2020 draft. Was very high on his skill set coming out of high school, and as Chris mentioned, he's kind of, you know, I think we all had fairly lofty expectations for Hassel. Obviously drafted eighth overall, you know, you always have that higher expectation threshold than you would, you know, drafted third or fourth round, obviously. So expectations were already high, and I think he at least met them, and frankly he exceeded a lot of people's expectations for sure. But I don't think there's any surprise to him. He's a very confident kid. Loved his, you know, the way he broke down some things. And you're going to hear that all right after the break here. So don't go anywhere. Robert Hassel is coming up next.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to D.C. Diverse world-class talent and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
All right, and joining us now, he is an outfield prospect in the San Diego Padres organization. Robert Hassel III joins us. Robert, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing? Good?
Yeah, doing great over here. How's everything with you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Enjoying my time in the off season, and you know, getting to work and
How is the off season going so far for you?
It's good. I'm in Nashville right now, and I've been kind of going back and forth from here to Arizona and back and that sort of thing. But just kind of, you know, setting into a routine here, and it's been good. It's been fun.
You guys have anything going on out in Arizona? I know obviously major league stuff's closed down, but are you guys still able to work out the complex and everything?
Yeah, they still have strength camps. I don't think I'm going to be going to this next one because I'm getting with a one-on-one trainer over here and near my house, and that's going to be good. But I went to one for about 17 days, close to a month ago. So they're still having some stuff for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Glad that that's still going on.
Yeah,
it's the craziness.
Yeah, with everything going on, it's still been fun. Definitely,
for sure. Well, you know, let's take us through last year, the weird, well, I guess that's almost 2 years now, the weird 2020 season for you. Mm-hmm. That was your, the COVID year shutting down, and then your senior season, the whole draft process. Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit, what that was like for you?
So we didn't play. Well, actually, I played two games when I was a senior. That's it. But then we knew pretty quickly that we weren't playing the rest of the season. So, and I felt good with where I was at, you know, for the draft and stuff. So I just kind of made sure I was doing what I was supposed to be doing and working hard and, you know, staying up to date on everything and making improvements certain places. But just main thing was just keeping up with, you know, trying to match the workload I would be having if I was playing a season. And I think that helped me. And then I didn't really, you know, everybody kind of, you know, had some adjusting to do. I feel like once everything got back and everybody was back to normal baseball wise, but you know, in my opinion, I didn't really skip a beat. I thought I was, you know, it was a easy transition to pro ball, and obviously there's been some challenges along the way, but it's, you know, going into it, it's like it's more mental than anything. You know, if you're mentally overwhelmed, then it's going to show, but I really wasn't. I think it was smooth. I had a lot of fun with it. And so, yeah, kind of was what it was.
Yeah. And that's something we hear a lot when we talk to, you know, pro baseball players is this, a lot of it's just mental. It's just being there mentally and knowing that you can do it. So I think that's a big factor for sure. Mm-hmm. Going back to the draft a little bit. How soon, like, did you know ahead of time that the Padres had planned on drafting you? Can you kind of take us through that process of like draft day? Did you know ahead of time, or how did that all unfold?
Yeah, so like with most everybody, I'm sure people are talking to teams, like if they're a legit, you know, thought in the draft, everybody kind of talks to scouts, but I'm assuming like the first top round guys are talking to, you know, even more scouts, but you'll kind of get a gist of like what teams like you and you know, there's not going to be any that necessarily don't like you if they're reaching out and talking to you, but you know, you'll kind of get a feel of who likes you the most. And actually, like almost a year before the draft, I told my dad that I thought the Padres were going to take me.
Really?
And so yeah, so I kind of I talked to a lot of different people, and from there, and you know, they really did their, you know, research, I guess I could say, like they really got to know me and my background and stuff. So I kind of, you know, along with a few teams, which I really can't even remember, it's been almost 2 years, but you know, them with, along with a few teams I thought were definitely interested. So yeah, you kind of, like I said, you kind of get an idea, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. It's always an interesting question that we like to ask prospects that get drafted, because it's an interesting experience all around, and you know, from multiple players. So it's always cool to hear. Now, you already kind of answered this question to a little bit, but the transition from the minor league, from high school to the minor leagues, especially with all the craziness and you being drafted during, you know, the COVID year or the first mm-hmm. COVID year. I hate to say that we're in the third COVID year at this point, but the first COVID year.
You wouldn't be wrong. To,
yeah. So was it really just the, you know, obviously it's still baseball. You're still going through, you know, all the routines of baseball day to day, but was it really just the mental side of things? And that was the biggest adjustment for you from high school to the minor leagues?
Probably, because, you know, you're just, you get around a lot of, you know, legit guys that you might not be used to being around that often. And so it's definitely like a challenge right when you get there right away. It's like, you want to go 100% on everything. And it's like, the reality is you don't, you know, you don't have it. You got to kind of pick and choose, you know, throughout even like a day, you know, even like a practice day, you know, what you're going to exert, like your most energy on that you have. So it was like that's the biggest thing, but I mean, that's mental too. It's like telling myself like, okay, like I don't have to, you know, come out and prove myself with everything I do. I can kind of be smart about it, but also definitely get my work in. And so, yeah, it's physically too, just because like right out of high school, I know that, like, I immediately kind of noticed that I needed to get stronger, you know, a little mm-hmm. bit stronger. And I was strong, but, you know, there's always that, you see the guys, and for me, you know, I'm always like, I'm not really saying a whole lot, you know, when I'm around, you know, I'll, you know, joke around and stuff like that, but I'm always like comparing myself to guys, not even in a bad way, just like, all right, you know, where am I stacking up against different guys? So I'm kind of doing that. So I kind of am aware of, you know, what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing, you know? So.
Yeah. That was one thing I wanted to ask as well. Cause I've been following your season this past year, and it seemed mm-hmm. like you did get, you know, stronger as the season progresses. So that was like an active thing you were trying to work on throughout the season.
Yeah. And, we had certain testing that we did for workouts, you know, a couple times throughout the season, just to make sure they knew where our strength numbers were at. Mine were actually stronger throughout the year. And like you're saying, it kind of, I think that definitely helped translate to the field, the physical part of it. But yeah, it was just like me, knowing that, like in my mind, me knowing that, it's like, all right, then I have no reason to slow down, you know, like I'm gonna keep this going. And my thing has always been consistency, and I you know, I think that's what makes specifically a hitter, but any player, any athlete, I mean, just consistency. And that means like from injury and stuff like that, obviously you got freak stuff that happens, but I think a lot of that stuff can be avoided just with being smart and on the field and off the field, with how you're stretching and stuff like that. But just, you know, consistency, that's what I've been about. So.
Yeah. Certainly consistent on the field as well. Great numbers this season.
Thank you.
That's, yeah. Impressive debut. And as you mentioned, the strength of the power numbers really came this year. Great to mm-hmm. see, obviously, with a good average. So that kind of ties in, but you know, what would you say the biggest strength and weaknesses of your game right now?
Yeah, I would, I don't know, maybe getting a little specific on the weaknesses, just because I like to, you know, I'm my own worst critic, so.
We all are.
That's fine. I could say everything, you know, but, you know, I definitely feel probably most confident at the plate, you know, so I'd say that's my number one strength, is just the presence at the plate, and it's only getting better, and I'm super, super confident in it. And, you know, it's going to be fun to keep progressing that. But, I'd say, you know, really, I would say every part, any part of my game could be a strength, but at times during the season, like, I feel like I slowed up base running wise. I wouldn't say, you know, my numbers were pretty good, but I would honestly say I think it could be so much better. So I think I would classify maybe, you know, put my base running in as a weakness, if I'm answering the question, just because I think there's a lot more. I had 30 bags
34.
Around there. I think yeah. I only got thrown out like five times. A couple times of those were at third. So I could definitely get better at that. Of course, like I said, any part of my game, I'm always working on all of it, but, I would say I would, there'd be a couple other people that would agree with me as the base running would probably, you know, get a little bit better, a little bit smarter.
Gotcha. Yeah. The one thing I really, going back to the offensive side of things, like you mentioned, the one thing I really was impressed by with you this past season is you could get on base, you know, via base hit. You know, obviously you hit 302 this year, but you also drew a lot of walks as well. So, you know, it wasn't just solely putting the bat on the ball. You were able to work the count and work deep counts and get on base there. That was definitely impressive, at least from my perspective, to see you have that high walk rate right off the bat.
Yeah.
There in Lake Elsinore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just making the pitchers pitch. You know, I think it's, getting the most out of, you know, or what's the best way to say it? I think it's just making these pitchers throw everything they got, you know, and the kitchen sink, you know, as they would say, like just everything, like making them pitch, making them work. And I think I worked a lot of deep counts, got a lot of them to 2-2 and 3-2. And, you know, obviously going up and rising through the minor leagues and eventually the big leagues, it's only going to get harder. But, you know, from where I was, I think just making them throw their best pitch and knowing that just one time wasn't going to be enough. You know, they're going to have to throw their best pitch multiple times and pitch to eight other guys. So it's like, just with that mindset, you know, just being trying to be a dog up there and, you know, controlling the at bat, you know, that was the main thing.
That's a great answer. Now more of a personal question. Now you grew up in Tennessee, which is, you know, kind of geographically, it's kind of like in the middle of a lot of, you know, major league teams, you know, whether north, south, east or west. Who, when you growing up, even right now, who were you a fan of in the major leagues?
Yeah. See, I really didn't. And to be completely honest, I didn't really have a team, but I will say that, we got a lot of, I know my dad would turn on like Braves games, you know, maybe some Cardinals games, Reds games. Like we got a lot of those games here, and really didn't like watch outside of that really. So I started liking following up with the players more than teams. Like I liked them from all. I loved Albert Pujols.
My language.
Yeah, he was like one of my even with, you know, right-handed hitter, first baseman. You know, I used to play a little first base, but mainly outfield. Like, not a whole lot in common between me and him. But he was my first, or probably my favorite player besides Chipper Jones. And then, you know, Freddie came up and debuted, and loved him, and he's been great ever since. And like, you know, just hitters. And then as I got a little bit older, and guys started like saying like, oh, you could be like this guy, you could be like this guy, then it was like, okay, I started, you know, paying attention to Yelich and then Bellinger and, you know, those guys and Seager, and started paying attention to some lefties. But yeah, I'm more of a player guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, you said some names here that are near and dear to both Chris and I. Now, Chris is an Atlanta guy. He lives in South Carolina. I live up in Maine, but I loved Albert Pujols, you know, from a young age. He's always been one of my favorites of all times. Watching just the way he conducted himself in the box and how he, you mentioned how he was in control of like every at bat, made the pitchers, you know, pitch to him. So loved watching Pujols as well.
And that's also why I loved Big Poppy so much. It's because he kind of had that swagger to him, but everybody knew when he stepped in the box, you know, everybody knew what time it was. It was his time. It wasn't the pitcher's time. So I admired that about him. Like, that's definitely something, like, if I can feel it through the TV, you know, his presence, it's like that pitcher definitely knows too, you know. So Prince Fielder, same way, you know, those guys. So
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned kind of going back and forth, doing some things at home, also at the complex. Is there any specific thing that you're working on right now as far as your game? And if so, are those things the organization wants you to work on, or do they kind of let you do your thing? Like, they let you kind of free flow and you do what you think's best?
Yeah, I don't think they've tried to change too much about me just yet. I don't know if I've given anything like a reason to be changed like significantly, but I will say that they do, like, I really do appreciate the work that the, you know, those guys, those analytics guys and the coaches too, put into, you know, some of my plans that I got. And like, I'm really trying to clean up a part of my swing that might not be super visible, like if you compared two videos side by side, one with the adjustment and one without, but like my back shoulder or my back elbow. So like the entrance to the zone, I think it could definitely be a little cleaner. And they've kind of had some analytics behind that support that. But I think a lot of it is like this season showed me that I got a lot of power to the opposite field, but I've always throughout my childhood, I've always had power to my pull side too. And I think how my swings developed, I think I kind of got a little lazy with my back elbow. And I think over the season, my hands are quick enough to get away with some stuff, but I think it kind of preset my power, if that makes sense, to kind of that left center, left field area, just because of the way I was swinging. So I think it's just as simple as that. And I think that's going to allow me to unlock, you know, my full power potential. Just kind of working on that. And then making sure my arm's in shape, making sure I'm in shape, making sure my cardio is better than what it's been, you know. And other than that, just keeping up with everything, just being a pro about everything and not, you know, because you could focus on one thing or two things that you really need to focus on and then lose sight of everything else, you know. And it's like, well, that doesn't really do you any good. It's like it's either everything or nothing, you know. So
right. So analytics are how do you factor in analytics? Are you a big analytical guy, or is that something you're not quite into fully
well,
yet?
I would have, if you would have asked me in high school, I would have said I'm not necessarily like not a fan, but
yeah,
I wasn't really into it at all. But I've learned it's like one thing is like those numbers won't lie, so you can try to like justify them any way you want to. But I think it's, you know, it definitely exposes you, even whether it's in a good way or a bad way. Like, so I've learned to like, I don't take it up there to the box with me, even really to the cage with me. Like I'm letting it flow because I don't want to think about too much stuff, but, you know, and part of my game's just keeping it simple, you know, in terms of hitting. So, but, I don't try to think about it, but off the field stuff, like when I'm, you know, when I'm on our dashboard that they put up with us and I'm watching video of my season and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at that stuff. Like I'm wanting to know, you know, I'm not really deep in the launch angle and stuff like that maybe yet, but I'm exit velo, like those numbers, like the velo, the pitchers, like some of the pitchers, analytics that they have on their pitches, like I'm interested in for sure. And I think it's helpful for any hitter, whether they want to admit it or not. I think maybe some guys operate fine without it. But for me, it's like throughout the season, it's like, a new pitcher comes up and I might be asking, all right, you know, Pat was my hitting coach, Pat Sullivan. He was great. I would say, hey, Pat, you know, what's his fastball velo? He'd be like, oh, he throws 95. And I'd be like, all right, that's all I need to know. That's, you know, sort of thing. So I use them, but I keep it simple for sure.
Yeah. So I always love getting, you know, different players' perspectives on that, because obviously, as you know, there's like not one way to attack hitting. You know, some guys will be super into analytics and that's great and that can work for them. Others maybe don't use it at all. Maybe they're a little more old school and that can work as well. So, and there's also various levels in the middle of those two ends of the spectrum too. So I always love getting that answer from people, because it's very interesting, especially with how analytics have really kind of sprung up more and more over the last, you know, handful of years or so.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's just been like, just I guess the analytics guys just figuring out new stuff, and it's just gotten better and better every year. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. So I know you only have 1 year under your belt at the professional level, but maybe you don't have to give like one specific answer if you don't have one, but maybe who was one or a couple really tough pitchers that you faced this past year?
Yeah. So the names I can remember, cause I know, I mean, there's a lot for sure. But, my buddy Kyle Harrison, he pitched on San Jose's team, for the Giants, but, lefty, he was all around, mid-90s, you know, really good slider. And I faced him in high school, and like seeing how much he's developed is really like, I'm proud of the guy for sure. And he was my roommate for Team USA over in Korea and stuff. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, he was definitely tough to face. You know, there's a lot of, see, I'm getting names mixed up. There's a guy I believe he was from – actually, I don't want to mess it up, so I'm not going to say. But there's a couple guys for the – quite a bit of guys for the Dodgers that were really legit. The Giants had a really good pitching. They had this this Ragsdale guy.
Yeah.
I believe that was his name. Maybe Carson
Ragsdale.
Yep. Carson Ragsdale, yeah. He was really good. And I actually hit a home run off of him that they said went foul by like 5 feet down the line. Yeah, my bullpen was they were waving it fair, so the umpire just went with it. And it was really funny. So I don't know if it actually went foul, but if it did, I apologize because that was a great at bat. And he's a really solid pitcher. So, but yeah, some of those guys, and I apologize for, I can't think of the names, but there's definitely a list. And when I got up to high A, there's definitely some legit guys for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. A lot of good talent for sure. Yeah. Do you have a favorite memory so far as a professional?
Well, I would say just, you know, a personal memory that was cool was it was our first home series this year, and it would have been a lot cooler if it was a home run, but we were down by two, I think, or yeah, we were down by two, and the bases were loaded, and I hit a double, and we all three runs scored. We walked it off, and there wasn't really anybody, you know, people had left during the game and stuff, and like obviously like, you know, low A attendance, like we're not selling out games and stuff, you know, but like the team was getting hype, and I think it was it was really early in the season, and it was cool for us, and it showed, I think, that we were having a lot of fun. So, and it just kind of reminded me like how fun it really was, you know, and kind of had an off day to sit on that, and it was cool, and you know, it definitely kind of paved the way for the season for me, at least confidence wise, everything, you know. Talent, skill, everything.
Sure. Yeah. One big moment like that take you a long way. So that's
for sure
here.
I mean, sure. That's what we all dream about when we're in the backyard as a kid, you know, playing ball, just like, you know, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, you know, that's what we all dream about. So having that moment kind of come true, you know, for you, even if it's just in, you know, in low A ball, but yeah, that's always fun.
For sure. It's still, you know, you still celebrate it like it's the World Series every time, you know. You see it even with 10-year-old, 12-year-olds, you know. It's great. Yeah. Still reminds you that everybody's still a kid of some sort having fun.
Yeah.
Especially in this game where, you know, you start playing when you're 4 years old playing T-ball. So, that's one of the many, many things I love about baseball.
For sure.
We'll wrap it up with this question here. Obviously, you know, Major League Baseball is in a lockout. Hopefully everything is fine and they get back on track. But for you at the minor league level, what are some, maybe it's one goal or multiple, what are some goals you have for this upcoming season?
For me, a goal is going to be hit 300 again, for sure. I would say, I mean, we can get deeper and deeper. I don't want to get narrowed down into goals because I haven't set all of them yet for the season, but I would say I definitely want to win, and I definitely want to be above 500 at the least. Like, I want to definitely be on like a legit team. And I think with the talent that the prospects organization has, and I don't think that in all, I believe it's four minor league season, whatever you want to call it, full season affiliates, all of four of them finished below 500 this season. But I don't think, you know, looking at the numbers, you know, it's not great, but we got a lot of talent, and so I think that's definitely a possibility, and I want to do that first and foremost, and then personally, and then win whatever, you know, championship, whatever it is, you know, and definitely want to do that, like, because I mean, that's what you come out and show up for. So then me personally, I definitely want to hit 200 or 300, not 200, please. Definitely want to hit 300, and you know, I want to hit a little bit more home runs, but I'm not going to get home run happy, so I don't want to set a number or anything. I kind of just want to let it happen, but you know, my whole thing's just been just hit the ball hard, and my dad's always said, and I know it didn't come from him, but, you know, you hit the ball hard, good things are going to happen. But I really do believe that. And, you know, they're getting so specific with the analytics nowadays. It's like you get rewarded with a lot of things, you know, for a lot of things if you just hit the ball hard and do that sort of thing and just rely on your skills and your talent and your training. Like, if as long as you do that, you know, so. But other than that, I want to get even better in the field. That's definitely a main goal, but I don't know how I haven't dove all that deep into my this past year's defensive stats, so I don't know. I need to set like a number on something, maybe fielding percentage or something, because I know I made a few errors. But I definitely want to be legit in the field and throw some dudes out on the bases for sure. let them know that my arm's definitely a problem if they want it to be a problem, you know. But yeah, so that's just basic. I think there's a bunch of little goals I'm probably setting, you know, along the way, but it's just some basic stuff.
Yeah. Love to hear that.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, there's so much talent in that San Diego organization. Obviously, you, CJ Abrams, and so many others that we're going to be really excited to watch here in 2022. So we wish you best of luck on this upcoming season. And thank you so much for taking the time, Robert. It was really a pleasure talking with you.
Once again, I appreciate you guys having me on. And no problem at all. No problem.
Thanks again, man. Best of luck this coming year.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Take care. All right, that was San Diego Padres outfield prospect Robert Hassel III, very gracious of his time to talk with us here on this special interview edition of the Fantrax Toolshed. We hope you all enjoyed it. You can follow Chris and I on Twitter. I am at AirCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And, of course, follow all of our work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. We will be back later this week with some more Dynasty and Prospect Rankings episodes. We'll have Shortstop out on Wednesday and Outfield on Friday. So look forward to those. And until then, everyone take care.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
I love the playoffs. Anything can happen. But the best part? It's like bonus football. And bonus football means betting bonuses with Gambit DC. For a limited time, get up to a 57% multi-sport parlay boost on the Gambit DC app, online, or at any Gambit DC retail location throughout the district. It's the most exciting time to be a fan. So make your play and get the home field advantage with Gambit DC. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Please bet responsibly.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours, With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.